We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Wisconsin and beyond the borders. Thanks for taking a listen to the Bill Michaels Show. Radio Joe alongside. I'm Bill Michaels. If you want to get a hold of us on Twitter, it's @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. Track him down over there. You can also find us on the Facebook fan page. Simply look for the verified blue check mark. Everything's over at the website as well. Go to BillMichaelsSports.com, BillMichaelsSports.com. Coming up here in just a bit. Get back into some Bucks chatter. But the Packers in the latest NFL power rankings. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. The Packers are now 23rd. 23rd in the NFL power rankings. Come on. 23rd. Too high, too low, or just right? I'll tell you this. It's until, and I know, because I saw all this, and I saw people freaking out. It depends on who you look at. You have Pro Football Focus, you have Bleacher Report, you have Yahoo Sports, you have ESPN, you have the NFL, they're right. Look, I get it. I understand where people are at, and people get upset. And wait a minute, you know, this is our team. That's fine. But here's the bottom line, and see if you agree with me on this. Here's the bottom line. The Packers are sitting at right now, 23rd in the power rankings. Why? Because until they win a ball game without Aaron Rodgers, and they do it somewhat convincingly, nobody believes in this team. Nobody believes in this defense. Now, depending on who you look at, like I said, it's just going to depend on where the Packers, in your mind, would happen to rank and what writer happens to be putting it out there. But there's not many people that are believing in the Green Bay Packers right now. Teams that are ascending, Dallas, they seem to have fixed their run game. Minnesota, obviously. With Case Keenum, he continues to thrive and fill in. Is that starting quarterback position? They had a kind of a poor first half against the Browns in London. Gave away a couple of balls, but they had a really good second half, and they just finally trounced the team that they should trounce. Detroit, they've kind of been bouncing around a little bit. But there's not a lot of people believing right now in this Green Bay Packers team. Depending on who you look at. Mike McCarthy has a bye week to figure it all out, get Brett Hundley to play better. And if there's not an improved performance by Brett Hundley in the offense on Monday night against the Lions, as one reporter put it specifically, it will reflect directly on Mike McCarthy as well as on Brett Hundley, who McCarthy emphatically said he's been 3 years in our system, meaning my system, and he's not getting any better. So everybody's waiting to see what Brett Hundley brings to the table on Monday Night Football. And the Packers aren't going anywhere as far as the rankings. Now, the rankings don't mean anything, really, in the grand scheme of things. It's just how people view them. Mark Maskey out of the Washington Post has dropped them down to 20th. Mark's a really good writer, too, by the way. If you don't follow anybody, follow Mark. Mark's a really good writer when it comes to that. But look, not many people believing in this team right now. Should they? 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. I've said all along, until you win, until a defense can get a stop, I don't think so. Prove me wrong. I want to believe. I have, excuse me, a lot of optimism. I want to believe, but this Packers defense has, as much as people want to put on Brett Hundley, and we talked about Brian Hoyer a little bit earlier, if Mike McCarthy's emphatically saying that, you know, Brett Hundley and Joe Callahan is his guy and that the quarterback room is really good, then answer me this question. If Brett Hundley does turn out to be a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, we're not talking Aaron Rodgers-esque by any stretch of the imagination, let's just say, who's a good quarterback? Not a great one. Let's say he's a step below, like, Alex Smith. Let's just say Brett Hundley, say he's a step below Alex Smith. Okay? Let's just take this for example. Brett Hundley's just there. He's a quarterback rating of maybe 90. He's you know, going to be okay. Going to throw you, you know, for the rest of the season, I don't know what, maybe, you know, 20 touchdowns, 15 interceptions, something like that. Alex Smith, you know what? I shouldn't even say that because Alex Smith is having a really good season. I can't put him there. Because Alex Smith's quarterback rating, I think, is one of the best in the league, if I'm not mistaken. Who would we see? Who would we put him with? Oh, Alex. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Alex Smith, he's got a quarterback rating of 115.4. He's better than Tom Brady. Let's say Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, 96 quarterback rating. You could even say like a Tyrod Taylor at a 93 quarterback rating, or Matt Ryan, who's 92, but I think Matt Ryan has more in him. Derek Carr, who's not having a great season. He's been banged up, though. There's Jared Goff, who's got a 90.3. Jared Goff, 9 touchdowns, 4 picks so far through the season. Somewhere in there. If he's Case Keenum, 7 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 88 quarterback rating. If he's Case Keenum managing that team, how many games did this team win? Think about it. Because that's still a decent quarterback. You're still getting the job done. You're doing enough to be viable in the NFL. And you're not doing it to be Aaron Rodgers, who had a quarterback rating of 103 when he went down. 13 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. You're not expecting that. You're not expecting a 66% completion percentage. You're expecting about a Tyrod Taylor of 63 or a Jared Goff of 59. Maybe a Case Keenum of 63. Somewhere in there. That's what you're expecting. Okay, so if you're talking about an average quarterback, here's the real question. Because that's what you're hoping for Brett Hundley. Here's reality. That's what you're hoping for. So if he has that kind of a season, Packers aren't going to the postseason. You know why? Defense. Until the defense proves to me that they can get the job done, even if he has a Jared Goff, Case Keenum, Tyrod Taylor type of season, I still don't have belief. Because until that defense can consistently get off the field, can create turnovers, and get you big stops, and can become a defense that is going to say, you're not going to score on us. We're going to hold the lead. We're going to win you a ball game. Until they can do that consistently, Packers aren't going to the postseason. That's the big bucket of cold water sitting right there in front of your face. Think about that for a minute. 855-8, agree or disagree? 855-830-8648. That's reality right there. That's reality because that means you have to have one. You really, really, really have to rely upon the run game. Aaron Jones, for what we've seen, has to be the real deal because teams are going to stack the box. They're going to stop the run. They're going to say, Brett Hundley, go beat us. Until you do, you get no respect. You get none. Zip. Zero. So let's hope Brett Hundley is better than Derek Carr or better than Jared Goff. Because that's the only way I see the Packers making it to the postseason. That's a reality. 855-830-8648. This portion of the program brought to you by the Neumel Medical Center, treating guys with ED all over the state of Wisconsin and beyond the borders, and treating guys with a 98% success rate. I went in and was just talking to them. I told this story numerous times about their advertising policy and started looking at some of the sheets, and I was reading. I'm like, well, what's this? I got all of this. And they said, it's low T. If you're looking for more energy, better mental clarity, better mood, stability, sleeping at night, feeling more rested and refreshed during the day, this might be something you do. It's been great. Been great. And then the all-in-one weight loss program, also been great. Call them. It's worth a phone call. 414-455-4451, 414-455-4451. Let's go to the phone calls. Let's talk to Dave listening to us in Appleton. Dave, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Hey, Bill. Good. How are you, man?
Good. What's on your mind?
Well, I'm glad that writer wrote what he did because I was waiting for somebody to finally say, you know, basically what McCarthy said. He's had 3 years with Hundley in his system. Okay, great. You've had a bye week now. Show us what you've got with this kid. I mean, I don't expect the world, but if in the next 6 weeks he can't get something out of Hundley, that reflects that basically shows you that Rodgers has been hiding this inept coaching staff. And it makes me wonder, does Rodgers want to be hitched to this staff for another 4 years, say he plays that long? You know, if McCarthy's, that makes him basically, you know, kind of faded. And on top of that, I heard guys talking about Dom Capers' defense yesterday. I know a lot of people hate him, but Mike Heller up here talked about the defensive draft and basically having, you know, little to no stars on defense. You know, so Dom can only do what he's got to do.
Right.
But if you think Dom Capers walks into the season thinking, you know, if I'm just 15th in the league, I'm happy with that. If you really believe Dom Capers walks in thinking that, you know, there's no way any coach in the NFL has that attitude. You know, we expect better than that. So I realize we want more than that. But the guy is still an NFL coach. And I know people hate him up here, but, you know, he can only do so much with what he's got.
No, I agree with that, and appreciate the phone call. And people talk about, well, Casey Hayward went on, and he exploded. Look what he's doing out in San Diego. But he was hurt all the time in Green Bay. Whether he was on the injury, whether he was still playing games, that's beside the point. The fact is he had groin injuries and hamstring injuries. He had some other problems. He had an ankle problem at one point in time. He still played some games, but he wasn't getting the job done. He had a terrific rookie season, but he wasn't getting... And when he was getting snaps, it was out of necessity because other guys were hurt. He was banged up quite a bit.
How do you explain Micah Hyde?
Hyde's a great question.
He was just named the AFC Defensive Player of the Month.
Micah Hyde, great question, because Micah Hyde, he was... I think Micah Hyde was utilized better as a safety here, but that's a great question. But how many... Let's be honest. In the grand scheme of things, how many guys have gone on to stellar careers after they left Green Bay? I mean, somebody brought up Josh Sitton yesterday. Sitton really hasn't done too much down in Chicago. He's been banged up more than anything. It's the same old to Josh. Who went over to just to Detroit? The other offensive lineman just escapes my memory. TJ Lang. He goes over to Detroit. He's playing well. I don't think they counted on him leaving. But out of all the guys that have left, who's gone on to really stellar careers after they left the Green Bay Packers? Dayton Jones can't find a job. They cut him loose. So what I'm saying is sometimes, yeah, greener pastures, absolutely. Guys have gone on and played really well someplace else, no doubt about it. But in the grand scheme of things, the guys they pretty much cut loose. People want to grab on to Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde and go, see, I told you so. Yeah, but what about all the other guys they've cut loose that haven't really gone on to other – that, you know, you're always going to have one guy slip through the cracks. But I agree. I've said all along. And you know what? We're going to take a break. Let's do this. I'll back up. I'll restate my statement from earlier this week about this defense and about the coaching staff, and then we'll go from there. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michael Sports Talk Network.
Peace up, A-Town.
Program, the Bill Michael Show on the air. Talking some Packers football, and I sat down and really started thinking about this when the whole Brian Hoyer thing came up. And I thought, well, you know, what do you expect out of Brett Hundley? What do you want Brett Hundley to be? Because if you set the bar at, man, he looks like Aaron Rodgers. Man, he gives us flashes of Aaron Rodgers. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. I was watching the NFL Network this morning. I got up really early today. I had to take Elmo to the vet. And I'm just kind of flipping through, and they're talking about the upcoming Monday night game. And, you know, and Brett Hundley and Mike McCarthy's now had a week and a half to work with him and get him indoctrinated. And as they said, take the leash off of him. And I'm thinking to myself, why'd you have a leash on him to begin with? This is the guy that you pounded the podium and said he's 3 years into our system, but yet you're out trying to find Brian Hoyer as a backup quarterback, who's probably better than Joe Callahan. But in essence, this guy wants to be a starter. Okay, great. So I'm thinking, well, how good does Brett Hundley need to be for this team to win games? Can they beat the Browns? Sure they can. Can they beat some of these other lesser teams? I don't doubt that. They can get to 6, 7, 8 wins, but are they going to be able to get into the postseason? So I'm starting to look through this, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, if you're going to go through and say he's going to be a Dak Prescott, or he's going to be a Tyrod Taylor type of numbers, or a Derek Carr this year, or Jared Goff, Jared Goff, you know, 9 touchdowns, 4 picks, 90.3 quarterback rating, completion percentage of 59%, almost 60%. Is that the expectation? Is that fair? You know, maybe a little higher. Okay, Tyrod Taylor, 63.8% completion percentage, 93 quarterback rating, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, decent run game, snot locker of a defense on the opposite side. Oh, wait a minute. And then I thought to myself, can this defense win you ball games? And that's why I keep telling you, this is not about Brett Hundley. This is about the fortification of that defense and the ability to get off the field and give the ball back consistently to the offense and put the offense in good positions to be successful. And you're talking about a team that suddenly has to really go over in the margin, in the plus-minus of turnovers. And my belief isn't with Brett Hundley. My belief is that the defense stinks, and until they prove me otherwise, they stink. That's where I'm at. And that's the reason I had said that at the end of this season, when Mike McCarthy said over the last couple of years, and he's let assistant coaches go, and his words were, sometimes you need a new voice. Doesn't matter where what you say after that, his statement was, sometimes you need a new voice. And if that's the case, and if that's the corner you're going to paint yourself into, then I suddenly jump on the bandwagon of, maybe it's time for Dom to go. Because if you believe the personnel is good enough in Green Bay to get the job done, then it's the messenger. And that would be Dom Capers. So I'm going to give it to the end of the season to make a total assessment of this team and this defense. But if this thing remains 15th or below and they're healthy, because right now the only guy you're missing is Rollins. Beagle's coming back. Montrevious Adams is coming back healthy. Looks like Morgan Burnett's going to be back. If the only guy you're going to end up missing is Quentin Rollins, I'm sorry. Maybe it's time for a new voice. And I'll jump on that bandwagon with a lot of you. But I'm going to let this thing play out before I make a complete judgment. But you have to show me as a defense that you can go out and win ball games.
I've got some nuggets coming out of Green Bay, and we're going to hear more from Mike McCarthy coming up on the show. Mike McCarthy says he never once was involved in a conversation about bringing in a veteran quarterback. He goes on to say that basically the pro personnel group was undoubtedly doing its regular due diligence in contacting Brian Hoyer. McCarthy also says that the sample size on Brett Hundley is way too small to know what kind of quarterback he can be.
And I agree with that.
He expects improvement going forward. So that's some of the stuff coming from Mike McCarthy right now to Green Bay. We'll hear from him later on
in the show. I completely agree with that. Although I can't believe that they're just kicking the tires without talking to Mike McCarthy or getting any input from him one way or the other about the possibility of Brian Hoyer. You know what I mean? I can't believe. So in other words, when it comes down to decisions, Mike McCarthy's involved, but in this particular case, since he's already went, these are my guys, and I like that quarterback room, he has to shield himself from that criticism, because otherwise we can go back and say, wait a minute, coach, this is what you said. I that's red China right there. Taking a whiff of that. Smell that? That's some mookie right there. 855-830-8648. If the Packers don't make the playoffs and Brett Hundley plays about as good as Jared Goff or better, it's not going to be Brett Hundley's fault. It's going to be that defense. Let's go to Daniel listening to us in Toma. Daniel, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Bill. This is Daniel again.
Yeah, what's happening?
I have a question. All right, number one is if he plays average, I think we should go 6-3 maybe. But you're saying defense, they got turnovers. But remember, the turnovers, we didn't get no points off them.
Correct.
We had the ball all the way down to the 45-mile-an-hour. And then you want to talk about players we let go. I think the best one that we ever let go, you were talking about people, this is before he even come along. How about Bryce Pop? He was defensive player of the year when he went to Buffalo.
Yeah, but that wasn't Ted Thompson. I'm just talking under the Ted Thompson.
No,
I'm
going to say it was Ted Thompson. This is before. It was for years.
Right.
How about it? I remember one time when there was a big conversation. Why didn't we keep Kurt Warner and get rid of Favre?
I remember that. I do remember that discussion.
Yeah, you know, everybody already, you know, stop looking at other people. Sometimes it ain't, remember the word, what makes people look better is a team effort.
Maybe absolutely.
The guy in San Diego got so good because the other guy was so great, they kept on throwing the other one, looking at the way he played in Green Bay. And all of a sudden he gets all the interception or tackles or whatever he gets because the other guy made him look better.
You don't appreciate the phone call. You don't see a lot of guys leaving. Like Charles Woodson had a pretty good end to his career in Oakland. Okay, he was here. You could clearly tell that the ability for what they were asking him to do was starting to erode. He goes over to Oakland, really becomes that leader all over again, gets comfortable back in his beginnings, and really fortified himself and flourished at the end of his career. And was kudos to him. But I can't remember a whole lot of guys leaving here and setting the world on fire. But you are obviously hurting in the secondary. Casey Hayward is gone. Micah Hyde is gone. And they're flourishing in other programs. And people are going, see, I told you so. No, you really didn't. When they let Micah Hyde go, nobody said, oh, my God, Micah Hyde's got to stay. I was a little bit surprised because Micah Hyde, who came in as a corner, became a better safety and was a better turn-and-go safety. I just think sometimes for what they run, some of the packages they run schematically, I think teams look at the matchups and they say, okay, we're going to get one matchup and we're going to get a guy. And they pick the guy that they're going to get the matchup on, and suddenly that's what all teams do. That's what you're looking to do. But Micah Hyde was a guy that, you know, they got some matchups on, and maybe it was just the coverage, maybe it was the scheme. I don't know. But he's having a hell of a season. Kudos to him. Maybe it was just greener pastures. He's more comfortable. He's got somebody that can teach him a little bit better. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Casey Hayward just got healthy. He wasn't hampered anymore by a hamstring or an ankle or whatever he was ailing from at that particular point in time, because he just was always banged up. And I cannot find one person, and I've gone through Twitter, I've scoured it for my own self, I can't find anybody when they let Casey Hayward go that said, oh my God, I can't believe you're letting Casey Hayward go. Because he was always banged up. Everybody knew it. You weren't going to pay him that kind of money to stay here. But he flourished. So kudos to him. Sometimes you just got to go out and get it after you end up getting let go by another team when they say you're not good anymore and you throw that chip on your shoulder. Maybe that was his wake-up call. I don't know. 855-830-8648. Let's go to George listening to us over in Michigan. George, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Hey, good. How you doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind?
Well, you were talking about the Brett Hundley era that we have in Saddletown now. I was thinking about it the other day, watching football last Sunday, and the worst case scenario for Brett Hundley was that he would play well enough to have Green Bay fall just short of the playoffs. Now, what draft pick would that be? Like 20, maybe somewhere around there.
20. No, probably be right around 20, 22, something like that.
Yeah, so that would be the worst case scenario, because we as in Green Bay, we're not going to get the best opportunity for a draft pick. No, I don't want to see the team tank, because I want to see the team do well.
You'll never get that team. I mean, unless you have 3 or 4 or 5 years of just badness, you'll never get that team to tank.
Oh, no, I agree with that 100%. But I want to see Hundley do well and succeed, but like you were saying earlier, you hit the nail on the head. The defense isn't there. When Rodgers went down, I was with my brother down in Green Bay watching the game, and I looked at him and I said, okay, Ted Thompson, this is your worst-case scenario. You refuse to go and get veteran assistance for that defense because you relied on Rodgers to be the miracle man every game and outscore the opponent, whether it's 25-plus, 30-plus points a game. Now, I mean, the offensive line has been hurt. Now it's healthy.
But look at it this way. I appreciate the phone call. Give me just a second here. He picked up Ahmad Brooks. He picked up Quentin Dial. He picked up Devon House. Now, when he did, that is going outside of his comfort zone. He did fortify the offense with Martellus Bennett and Lance Kendricks. He did do that. What he didn't do was go out and get the big dollar guys that everybody wanted to bring in. So unless he did that and then they failed, people would still say, well, Ted, you didn't do enough. I agree with that. But I go back to, it's not even going out and fortifying it. It's some of the draft choices that you've made. When you miss in a draft and you're not picking up in a draft and develop team, you're not picking up a Pro Bowler a year or at least above average guys each and every year and then a Pro Bowler every other year, you're setting your team back because you're constantly scrambling for those 2 to 3 years of a developmental process to say, we'll give this guy 3 years, we'll fortify this position for the next 2 years, and let's see what happens. It buys yourself 2 years, in essence, every year because you're waiting for somebody to develop. You're going to wait for Demontrevious Adams. You're going to wait for Vince Beagle. You're going to wait for Josh Jones. You're going to wait for Kevin King. Don't forget he went out and got Chris Odom as well. So he did go out and do things. It just wasn't the big dollar items that everybody wanted him to go get. Going to talk some UW Green Bay men's basketball when we come back. Link Darner, the head coach, going to join us coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Michael Show is on the air. Hopefully you're having a terrific Thursday. We're going to talk some UW Green Bay basketball as we continue to take our look around the state as we're getting ready for the collegiate season. This portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic, the health system. Fantastic people. Treat you like a friend, not like a number. And I'm 3 years out now from my knee surgery. Feeling great. I had the whatever the creeping crud was, and man, it just hangs on and hangs on and hangs on. But I was miserable. Miserable 3 weeks ago. And within a few days after finally calling them and getting three prescriptions, as a matter of fact, helped me out right then, right there. And I've been on the road to recovery ever since. It just hangs on. It's nagging. It's like this bronchial thing. Might have to call them again. Say, hey, I need a little more juice, if you will. But check out everything they have to offer at marshfieldclinic.org. That's marshfieldclinic.org, the official healthcare provider of yours truly and the Bill Michaels Show. We continue to take a look, around college basketball as we get into UW Green Bay and bring in their head coach, friend of the program, Link Derner, is now joining us. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Bill. How are you?
We're doing well. So you get your first win of the exhibition season, a nice 100. You hit the century mark. Did you expect to be this good offensively? I know you're playing Ripon College, but, hey, competition on the floor that's not your own guys is always a good at least litmus test for where you're at, right?
Well, I think so, and it was good to get out and play somebody different and see a different group of guys. I think our guys were ready to play somebody else, tired of the same guy fouling them every day in practice. But we shot the ball from the field very, very well. And, you know, you'd like to say hopefully we can do that every game, but, you know, it's not going to happen. I think we were 14 for 25, 26 from the three-point line, which is extremely good. But I thought we did some really good things, and it exposed us in some areas that we needed to work on, and that's what we're back doing now.
A lot of freshmen and sophomore on this team. Very, very young. Obviously some seniors leadership in Small, and also you got your redshirt senior in Jesperson. But when it comes to a team that's younger, that's trying to find itself with a little bit of upperclassman leadership, how difficult is that, or does that bring a different energy and enthusiasm?
Well, I think it brings a little bit of a different energy and enthusiasm. We've got a great group of guys that are working hard. The biggest thing is we got a lot of guys that haven't played any college basketball before. And I think sometimes as coaches, we got to take a step back and maybe slow down our teaching and what we want to do and not try to throw too much at them. But, because we only got really three guys back in the program that were on the team last year. And then Sandy, of course, transferred in at semester. So it's a lot of new things that we're working on right now. We did have an advantage of, we did take a trip this summer. We went to Puerto Rico to where we could get 10 practices in and put some stuff in, which I thought was really good. But, you know, we're trying different things, and probably here the first 2 months of the season till we get conference play, it might be things that we just got to try in the game and work on and see how it goes to see what this group of guys can and can't do.
When you finished your season last year, 18-14, but you guys really, overall, at home, the Resch Center has become somewhat of a fortress. You guys have played extremely well there. I know everybody preaches about winning your home games, but that has really become a great place of comfort for you, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, we've played well here. I think the only team we haven't beaten here is Oakland right now. They seem to have our number, and then we beat them at their place last year, so... But we've played well here. It's been a good home court advantage. I was surprised we shot as well as we did the other night because we hadn't been in there to practice any. It was the first time that a lot of our guys have seen the floor, played on it, been in there. And it's a different arena, different size than what they're used to and things like that. But it's been a very good home court. We've got 17 games this year at home, and hopefully we can take care of home court there.
When you talked to me, I want to go back to something you said. First of all, you took your team to Puerto Rico to just kind of get guys away and to be able to do some practices. But you talked about with only three returners and having to slow down your teaching. Explain that.
Well, when we went to Puerto Rico, we were able to get 10 days of practice in. So we were able to get some stuff in. But right now, when you have a veteran team, like we had a veteran team last year, you can move on and sometimes you expect the players to understand exactly what you want to have done, and you may explain it to them, you may show it to them on the board, you may show it to them on a timeout, and then when you go out on the court, they really don't know what you really mean. We're working on a few things to get ready for our game at Minnesota. They're going to run a lot of ball screen action, and talking about we're going to stay back, and if it's a clear out and different things. And as a coach, sometimes you think that, boy, that's real easy to understand. But then when you get out on the floor and guys have never done it before with your terminology, they may not understand it as much as you do. So with only having three guys and only really one that really played significant minutes in Khalil last year, it's almost like we're reteaching. It's almost like we've taken over the program again. And the good thing about the 10 days of practice and the four games in Puerto Rico, we were able to get some stuff in before we started when our kids came back in September and when practice started in October.
Last year, five teams, double-digit wins in the Horizon League. It was jumbled right around third. You guys ended up 12-6, 18-14 overall. You had Northern Kentucky with 24 wins, Valpo with 24 wins, Oakland with 25 wins. It seems like the Horizon League slowly but surely is kind of climbing into that. I'm not going to say it's not there with those Power 5 conferences, don't get me wrong, but you've got more and more top teams that are starting to kind of vie for that top spot. It used to be one or two, and then everybody else was just feeding on the bottom. And now it seems like it's become a more competitive league. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think it's been very competitive the 2 years I've been in here, and I think our kind of last season, our conference tournament shows how good it is where, you know, Youngstown State goes and beats the number one seed in Oakland, and then Milwaukee makes a run that they make. And even the year before when we won four games, the top seeds weren't the teams that got to the finals. It was the lower seeds. And I think this year it's going to be really good. I said it last year after my press conference when we got beat that our league probably has three teams that are going to be – could at one time or another have a chance to be, in my opinion, a top 25 team. Oakland is loaded. And they're going to probably, my guess is they'll pull an upset or two here in the preseason when they go play a Power 5. But they've got a lot of guys back. They've got a kid from Illinois that averaged 16 in the Big Ten, and he had 40 the other night. UIC has almost everybody back from their team last year, and they had maybe one of the best players in the league in Dixon, who was out with a knee injury all last year. And then Northern Kentucky made their run they did, and they lost in the NCAA tournament. I think it was to Kentucky by like 8 or 10, which was a tight game most of the way. Those are probably the three top teams in our league, and I think they could all pull some upsets here in the preseason. And I think everybody else is going to be kind of fighting behind them to see where you place and everything. But I think it's going to be a very competitive league. I think it has been both years. And the conference tournament goes to a new arena over in Detroit. Who knows what can happen over there? It's been a crazy two seasons for the conference tournament and the Horizon League the 2 years I've been in it.
Coach, we wish you nothing but luck. I know we're going to talk throughout the season, but thanks for joining us for a couple of minutes, okay?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Link Durner, head coach of UW Green Bay men's basketball program, and he's right. Oakland's loaded, and there's Northern Kentucky, the Norse over there, have been a really good team for a long, long time, and now they're starting to get some recognition moving into the Horizon League, and Valpo's Valpo. I mean, they've been in the tournament numerous times, and people know that small school's name. And they know they've been an upset machine at times. So I'm looking for good things coming out of the Horizon League this year. You just want to see UW-Milwaukee rise and get out of that four-win total. They were 11-24 in the season last year and do a little bit better. And then, Detroit's been a powerhouse over the years that has been able to be kind of always mentioned. UIC has had some good programs at times. Cleveland has been a good program at times, and they're on the downside right now. But Oakland, Valpo, Northern Kentucky, those three teams right now, top-heavy in the Horizon League. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to talk some D3 college football as we've got Kevin Bullis and the UW-Whitewater program on the docket again this Saturday out at Perkins Stadium. It's going to be a good one out there, too. We're going to talk more about that when we come back. They join us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they'll be getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll. And I want these words to make things right. But it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is? If that's the worst you got, better put your fingers back to the key. One night, one more time. Thanks for the memories.
Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We're glad to have you. Hopefully you're having a terrific day today. We're going to talk some UW-Whitewater football coming up. Homecoming, Hall of Fame Day, all that kind of good stuff. Coming up here in just a minute, head coach Kevin Bullis is going to be joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Reminder, tonight we are going to be over at Paulie's Pub and Eatery on Greenfield Avenue in West Dallas, right across the street from the Wisconsin State Fair Park, all brought to you by Bud Light. We're going to be talking with Chuck Freeman tonight. And from CBS, who's coming over from CBS? Grotsky from CBS 58 is going to be joining us tonight, going to be over there. He's going to be hanging out with us tonight. The Bud Girls are going to be there. It's all brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. So get out there tonight over to Paulie's Pub and Eatery on Greenfield, over there across from the Wisconsin State Fair Park in West Dallas, and that's a good place. Paulie's a great guy. I always love getting a chance to see him. I see him more at State Fair than I do over at his place, but nevertheless, come on out tonight if you can. Be a face in the crowd and hang out with us. Big win last week as they beat up on UW-Stevens Point. We bring him in now, head coach Kevin Bullis of UW-Whitewater. Coach, nice win last week, man. How you doing?
Hey, doing fantastic. I mean, feeling the momentum on that one and felt good about going into it. And no doubt, Bill, I mean, being able to come out of the gate fast right off the bat and really establish the tempo during the entire game.
You last week put up 28 points in 28 minutes in that win over UW-Stevens Point. What was it that was just – because you had talked about momentum last week on the program, and you said you just kind of felt that things were moving in the right direction after you got the win over UW-River Falls. You've put up 20-plus points in the last 3 weeks. You feel like the offense is moving forward, and the fact is you're not turning the ball over nearly as much.
No doubt. To me, the biggest thing is we've really simplified. The game can get so complicated, and us as coaches, we're really good at making it complicated now, obviously tongue-in-cheek, and really simplified it and really allowed the kids to play the game and obviously paid off for us against Stevens Point.
So coming into this ball game, Platteville, obviously one of the higher ranked schools that are out there. This is a team that's been on the rise now the last few years. They have targeted you guys the last few years. You get them at Perkins Stadium, homecoming. This is a big one for you guys.
Oh, no doubt. And I mean, the tradition of this game goes back to 1990. You like the Yankees versus the Red Sox. I mean, that's how we feel about it. And there's a great tradition here. It's the George Crist Bowl in honor of Coach Crist. And it's always been a dogfight in these really the last 5 years. I mean, in all reality, they're come out in a spread passing attack, throwing the heck out of it. And our big thing is to be able to minimize their long game and control the clock ourselves.
So what do they bring into this ball game that is so tough to defend? We'll start there. Offensively speaking, they've been able to rack up some points this season. So what do they bring offensively that is so tough to defend?
With that spread pass and attack, what they'll do is they'll nickel dime you. They'll nickel dime you with that 5-6-7 yard pass game. And what they do is get you really then start hugging up on that, and then they hit you with the long balls. And that's really ultimately the biggest thing is to be patient. Don't be impatient. We can't give up the long ball. They are going to get yards against you. There's not even a question. I mean, Coach Emmendorfer and his team do too good of a job, Bill, for us to just shut them down. You're never going to shut them down. But the key thing is don't be impatient and give up the long ball.
They got beat last week. They're coming off of a loss against UW La Crosse. Again, when you talk about turnovers, you talk about some missed opportunities. They had some of those in that ball game. But I want to go back to your program. You've got some wins. You've stacked successes now. You got through some. That was, if you want to call it, because for you guys, you have this tradition of winning. And when you guys start out with three losses in four games and people are going, what the hell? And then all of a sudden you get it back and you regroup. You find out the character of your team. So I want to go back into your team for a minute. And a team that's coming off of a loss versus a team that's coming off of a win, you guys have built those character times. You've faced that adversity now. Do you feel like that direction and what you face in the beginning of the season is what's setting you up for the end run?
Not even a question, Bill. I mean, and we talk about building character and building, staying focused on the next day. And that's what we did during those hard times. And the kids stuck to it. They stuck to the process. They believed in the process. The process works. We've proven it. We've proven it over the last 15 years, and the process wasn't broke. We had to just reaffirm ourselves into it, and like you said, what does that mean? Disciplined football, physical football, take care of the football. Those are the things. It's not a complicated game, and our kids have done a great job. The staff has done a great job of emphasizing that, and we're feeling the mojo right now.
So this week being homecoming with everybody coming back, is there an amped up energy on campus?
No doubt. And I mean, there's always that the history of homecoming and the history of this game in all reality, to me, just builds on it. Seeing the Hall of Famers and those people all back, it adds the nostalgia to it, the energy to it, and obviously great to be back in the Perk. I mean, we love playing at home. It's a great place to come and watch a game. It's a better place to even play a football game.
Coach, best of luck to you this weekend. Really looking forward to it. This is a big one. This is one of those games where you say, okay, the rest of our season can kind of move forward. We beat this team and then continue to move on towards the postseason. So best of luck, and we'll talk again next week, okay?
Hey, thanks a lot, Bill. Always fun talking with you.
You too, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. Head coach Kevin Bullis at UW-Whitewater in the football program there. They faced some adversity early on this season. And, you know, we talked about this because it's just odd for UW-Whitewater to lose. They lose to Illinois Wesleyan. They lost to Concordia Moorhead. They ended up losing to UW-Oshkosh in a good game, lost 37-20. They throw in Washington St. Louis. They beat them 40-21. You think, okay. But then they have reeled off four straight wins. They barely beat Stout 14-0, but then they've scored 21, 20, and 35. It seems like the offense is starting to go. They're not turning the ball over. Big one this weekend out at Perkins and Whitewater out there. Get out and check it out. 1 o'clock Saturday, homecoming, Hall of Fame day. Good one. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.